Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6:30, so we will make a start. So a very warm welcome to this evening's meeting of the Cabinet on Monday the 13th of September. So item number one is to receive apologies for absence.
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you. Item number two is declarations of interest. Are there any declarations to declare? No? Okay, thank you. So item number three then is to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on the 16th of August 2021. Those have been circulated and I would like to propose that we accept those as an accurate record. Councillor Allen seconding. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous. Oh, no, it isn't. Councillor Peters, are you in favour? You are. Splendid. That is now unanimous from the voting members. Thank you. I will sign those. Okay, item number four then is to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. I don't believe we have any urgent business. No, okay. Item number five then is the forward plan. Chief Executive.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of September through to the 31st of December this year. I'm happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions on the forward plan? No? Okay, thank you very much indeed. Item number six then is the quarter one revenue and capital outturn 21-22, and I will hand over to Lisa Turner to present.
Thank you, Leader. So this report covers the quarter one forecast position for the current financial year, covering revenue, capital budgets, treasury management activities, as well as a summary of the key corporate and strategic risk base in the authority. Section four of the report covers the revenue budget. The budget for the current year was balanced, taking into account 1.1 million from reserves. This included a corporately held provision of 1.3 million against estimated COVID-19 pressures, recognising that there was a high degree of uncertainty in this regard. At this early stage of the year, the report continues to highlight significant forecast pressures in relation to COVID-19 on service budgets of around 0.8 million. After taking into account the corporate held provision, the overall forecast position means that 0.6 million would need to be drawn from reserves to balance the budget. Narrative in respect of the most significant variations is outlined at paragraph 4.2 of the report, and more detailed variations are set out in Appendix A in the normal manner. It is once again expected that there will be increased volatility in the forecast this year, and much will depend on the course of the pandemic over the course of the autumn and winter period. With this in mind, sensitivity analysis has been undertaken in relation to the forecast, which is outlined in more detail at paragraph 2.3 of the report. Section 5 of the report covers treasury management activities, and at the end of June, our investment stood at 53.5 million, with a rate of return just below the base rate, which reflects the current market availability. A full schedule of investments is attached at Appendix B to the report in the normal manner, and external borrowing remains at around £11 million at the end of the quarter. Overall, our treasury management activities are in line with the approved treasury management strategy. Section 6 of the report covers the capital programme and sets out our expenditure against a programme of 9.4 million, with some projects taking place over several years, but overall being on target to be delivered within the approved budgets. Finally, Section 8 covers the risk management, and Appendix E to the report is a schedule of the most significant corporate and strategic risk facing the authority, together with the measures being taken to manage these risks. This covers the key points in the report. In summary, whilst at this early stage of the year, indications suggest a favourable position against the budget, although the forecast does mean that we would still need to utilise reserves to balance the budget. Members will be aware that the medium-term financial strategy demonstrates a very challenging, uncertain outlook beyond the current financial year and the need to identify ongoing savings and reduce reliance on reserves. There are a number of recommendations for noting set out at section 12 of the report. I'm happy to take any questions through you, Leader.
Lisa, thank you very much indeed for that and for all the work that obviously goes into the presentation and the work behind it. Are there any questions or comments, please? No? Okay. As you have obviously pointed out, there is a significant amount of potential volatility within there. Clearly, it's a broadly positive looking report, as you'd indicated, but again, if you look at the obviously the sensitivity analysis, it could potentially get better or it could potentially get a lot worse. So clearly it will be I'm sure closely on everybody's radar to monitor things as they go forward, but obviously and to take any appropriate action, accepting that a number of these things are probably outside our control from a COVID perspective. So if there are no further questions or comments, the recommendation is that excuse me, we note the financial position, we note the latest position in terms of investments and borrowing, and that we note the corporate and strategic risks. So are voting members content that we note those? Yep. Okay, thank you very much. Lisa, thank you very much indeed. Okay, which takes us on then to item number 7, which is the Corporate Plan Performance Report 2021-22 Quarter 1. And in a second, when he's ready, I will ask James to present.
Thanks, Leader. So this is the Corporate Plan Performance Report looking at the Council's progress towards achieving its objectives for the first quarter of this financial year. So I'll just provide a very quick summary of the headline figures and the key points. But as I hope you can see from the report that's been circulated, the numbers again suggest that overall the corporate performance continues to be very positive. So just to summarise, each target's been graded using the usual red, amber, green system of ratings and ranked accordingly, dependent on the progress of each individual indicator. And the analysis shows that out of the 129 targets that we have in total, there are 88 that have been marked as green. There are just 3 that have been highlighted as amber and none at all that have been highlighted as red at this stage. There are 37 that are not yet due to be reported on. These will, of course, become live as we go through the financial year. And there's one there being recommended for deferral into the next financial year. So if we look purely at the 92 live targets, this equates to the council being at 96.70% green overall and just 3.3% amber. And as I've said, there's none at all that are red. And just to provide a bit of further breakdown on that, the table you can see on page 6 of the main report, that just shows how those percentages break down across the Council's 3 corporate priorities, as well as the 5 Cabinet portfolios, and provides really just a useful at-a-glance summary of the Council's performance across the whole piece. Those few targets that I've referred to that have been highlighted as amber, they are all detailed in full in section 5.5 of the main report, which you can see starting on page 7, and that just provides some narrative to provide a bit of context around the situation with each of those indicators. I'll also mention section 5.6 of the report, which you can see from page 9. There are 2 indicators detailed here that have been recommended for amendment, as shown in the table there, along with 1 additional indicator that's been recommended for deferral into the next financial year, as I mentioned a moment ago. So that's a summary of the main report. As I mentioned at the outset, overall, the numbers again suggest that we continue to be in a very good position in terms of the corporate performance, with the vast majority of targets being on track to be achieved as planned. Of course, full detail of all the indicators in the corporate plan is shown in Appendix 1, along with the usual benchmarking that's been included as Appendix 2. The recommendations are firstly to consider the performances at the end of the first quarter of this year, and secondly to approve the deferral of indicator HBO4 that I've mentioned, along with those amendments to indicators CR26 and VFM54 as shown in that section of the report. With that, I'll hand back to you, Leader, for any questions.
Thank you very much indeed, James. In terms of the AMBER plan performance indicator, so in terms of being on track, obviously the artificial pitch, I'm assuming there is an answer now, but obviously the other two items are at the end of the at the end of the financial year, so we have an opportunity potentially to do something about them. So in terms of the housing benefit overpayments, I am guessing that fundamentally there is little we are going to be able to do from that perspective. Sal, do you want to, yeah.
So that was the indicator or indication at the end of quarter one with Sarah's figures, and she's just highlighting the fact that it may slip. However, the performance over the last 2 months has been improved, so I think by the time we get to quarter two, we're back on green.
Okay, perfect. And CR21, the Washlands delayed in terms of planning permission, so a good likelihood that works will be underway before March 22, but not completed until the summer of 22. So I'm guessing that's fundamentally not going to be deliverable until the works are completed. Anyone?
I think it's right to assume that, Leader, but you know, this is a snapshot in time when we record what was happening in that quarter. So yeah, it's sometimes a little difficult to look ahead. We did make this point to a councillor a couple of weeks ago that you have to really wait for the quarter to be able to discuss it, so to speak.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments? No. Okay. So the recommendation, as James indicated, is that we consider the performance at the end of the first quarter for the 21-22 financial year towards achieving the Council's corporate priorities, and that we defer indicator EHB04 to 22-23, and that we amend the target for indicator CR26 to October 2021, and amend target for indicator VFM 54 to March 22. So I will make that proposal. Can I have a second for that, please? Councillor Peters, all in favour? That's unanimous from voting members. Thank you very much. James, thank you very much indeed for that. Okay. That takes us on then to item number 8, which is the Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman Annual Review Letter 2021. And Andrea to present, please.
Thank you, Leader. The report presents a positive annual review letter received from the Ombudsman for the year ended 31st of March 2021. The letter is included at Appendix 1 of the report with the summary of complaints received at Appendix 2. The letter indicates that the Ombudsman received a total of 5 complaints or inquiries during 2021 and 7 decisions were made. Of those 7 decisions made, 1 was referred back for local resolution, 4 were closed after initial inquiries, with 2 investigations being carried out. One was not upheld and the other complaint was upheld. A link containing details of the Ombudsman report in respect of the complaint which was upheld is provided within the report. The Ombudsman upheld the complaint about part of the way the Council recovered housing benefit overpayment. The Council apologised for the fault identified and confirmed that it had already introduced new processes in discretionary housing payments. It is unfortunate that the Council was not given the opportunity to address this complaint through its own complaints procedure, as the Ombudsman decided to investigate when the complainant contacted them direct. Performance information in respect of complaints received by the Ombudsman about other local authorities is provided at section 4.8 of the report, shows the Council has a lower number of complaints referred to the Ombudsman within the nearest neighbour group. Section 4.9 indicates the total number of formal complaints received by the Council within the year. A total of 50 complaints were received, which is a very slight increase on the number of complaints received in the previous year, which was 44. Very few complaints progress further to the next stage of the procedure, indicating that more than likely the complaint was resolved to the complainant's satisfaction at stage 1. I'll pass back to you, Leader, for any questions. Thank you.
Andrea, thank you very much indeed. Are there any questions or comments on that? Okay, I will just add that it's important to look beyond the pure statistical analysis and I guess also comment that it's slightly disappointing that the Ombudsman didn't allow us to seek to resolve the particular issue mentioned in the first instance. So the recommendation is that the letter be received and noted. So are members happy to note that it is both received and noted? Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Andrea. Okay, which takes us then on to item number 9, which is the COVID-19 Emergency Planning Recovery Update Report for September. And James again, please.
Thanks again, Leader. So, as we all know, there's been a document collated and brought forward on a regular basis throughout the COVID pandemic, reflecting the situation as it has continued to evolve. So this is now the second edition of a recovery-focused report, with the previous reports having looked more at the response side to the emergency. So we're looking here really at activities and opportunities for recovery, and we've continued to consider these aspects across the four themes of local economy and business, infrastructure and environment, physical and psychological health, and new best practices and norms of behaviour. Noting, of course, that some of these activities do span across multiple themes in places. So if we look to the balanced scorecard style table on page 6 of the report, that provides a summary of these opportunities and activities and breaks things down across those four themes. So if I just draw out a few key points from across those themes, if we start with the local economy, there's detail here about the financial support in the local area through the grants and reliefs that the council has continued to administer. So over £49 million at the time of writing. And some highlights as well in that section from the work of the enterprise team, the licensing team, etc., that continue to work closely with businesses in the area. There's also the recent completion of the regeneration works on the High Street in Burton, which complements the Station Street works that, of course, aim to help footfall into local businesses. And also in this section, we have some information there about how we've supported the national campaign organised by the National Market Traders Federation. So in July, the Burton Marketplace hosted a young traders market. And it's worth mentioning as well the successful concert held in the market hall, which was also back in July. This theme really links quite closely, I think, to the infrastructure environment theme. There's examples there around the Stay Local campaigns with resources available to help promotion of our local businesses, as well as activity aimed at supporting the local visitor economy across a range of activities. And of course, there's the opportunity has been explored through the Towns Fund as the business cases for those potential projects develop, as well as the Utoxeter Master Plan work. If we look at the physical and psychological health theme, we have the work through the Everyone Active Partnership and the obvious health benefits from that. The take-up of the physical side of things, the physical activities, as well as the financial performance of that contract has been very positive since the leisure centres have reopened. And as we mentioned earlier tonight, there's the replacement of the artificial turf pitch at Leisure Shopping and Leisure Complex, and new LED flood lighting as well, which is all but complete now, leading to a much enhanced facility for our users to enjoy and the additional opportunities that go with that. There's also reference here to a number of local initiatives, such as the therapeutic gardening sessions that we've had at the greenhouse and the outdoor sculpture trail as well in the town. Then we have our fourth theme, which is around embedding new best practices and new behaviours. So, of course, our digital strategy will be a significant part of our work over the coming months and years, and there are a number of aspects that arise from that. On a similar point, there are the new digital practices that we'll be able to build on. So, for example, the brew house has had some continued virtual offerings as well as some outreach offerings as well. And as you know, we're utilising a mix of virtual and in-person interactions and meetings from a council perspective. And as we move forward, there'll be that gradual return to a level of office-based work, which is being addressed and planned with service managers from across the authority. That's a quick run through of a few of the highlights from the report. All the details, of course, shown throughout sections 5.3 to 5.6. But as I hope you can see there, there's still a lot of good activity that's happening across the authority and its partners. And there are a number of opportunities that contribute to the recovery of the borough and its communities and business as well, which we can see there. The recommendation is simply to note the update detailed in the report, and happy as always to take any questions through you, Leader.
James, thanks very much for that and for all the hard work that's gone into collating the report as well. Are there any questions on that, please? No? Okay. Obviously, again, good to see all the activity continuing to go on, and obviously COVID recovery very much part of our everyday life now at the moment, so very much central and core to what we are doing as a local authority and more widely in the community. Okay, if there are no further questions, then the recommendation is that we note the update detailed within the report. Are members content to note the update? They are. Lovely. Okay. James, thank you very much indeed for the report. That moves us on then to item number 10, which is the consideration of potential houses in multiple occupancy planning restrictions, Article 4 direction. And in a moment, when you're ready, Naomi, I will hand over to you.
Okay, thank you. Good evening. The purpose of the report is to set out the research the planning policy team have undertaken on the option of restricting permitted development rights to move from a residential dwelling to a small house of multiple occupation, accommodating 3 to 6 unrelated people. Cabinet referred this matter to planning in May to look at the potential to require planning permission for these changes of use. The planning team undertook some gathering evidence and concluded that although the evidence base was narrow, with limited evidence of harm, that we could proceed with a criteria-based policy which would allow each application to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. We also considered a density-based policy, but the evidence didn't conclude to that being successful. Introducing an Article 4 would mean poor quality landlords might be put off by the need to apply for planning permission, and all HMOs created after the change would in effect be on our radar, which might be useful for departments such as licensing and environmental health. The Article 4 direction would be published, giving a 12-month notice period, and during that 12-month notice period there'll be an opportunity for consultation, and also a supplementary planning document would be prepared which would give guidance on how applications for the change of use would be determined. The recommendation is to proceed with an Article 4 direction which requires planning permission for these changes in Burton-on-Trent, where the highest density of HMOs in the borough is to be found.
Thank you very much indeed, Naomi. Obviously, we have discussed this at some length in other meetings, but are there any questions, queries, or points that members would like to make? No? Okay. Right. I'm not going to read out all the recommendations, so I will propose the recommendations as set out in section 12 of the report, 12.1 through to 12.4. Assuming that's all of them on my printed bit of paper. Can I have a seconder for that, please, Councillor Allen? All those in favour? Okay, that is unanimous from voting members. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, Naomi, thank you very much. So I move that in accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, that the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraph of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before the item numbers on the agenda.